Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, welcome to New Life Live. Glad you're with us here today on New Life. And if you'd like to, I'm just now hearing myself. Welcome to New Life Live. Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton, doctor and doctor, are in the house today, and we're going to take your calls for 2 hours. We're going to do that. And if you'd like to join us, you can call this number. Here it is, 1-800-229-3000. Now, you could see what we're doing. Even during the breaks, I think. You could see what we're doing at Facebook, or New Life Ministries, Steve Arterburn on Facebook. I don't know. Go to the website, newlife.com, and you can get us on Facebook for 2 hours. So even though we're going to tape another program, you can see us taping that other program. Because why would we withhold something while we're doing it? Now, I want to mention this to you before we get started. And again, here's the number, 1-800-229-3000. 5 o'clock Eastern Time, we'll do Facebook Live with you here. Special, you know, coronavirus or COVID-19 broadcasts I'm doing every day. And I'm answering a question from a mom who is about to lose her faith and Christianity and could actually lose a child or two from homeschooling. And so she's asked for some help, and I give it to her. And, you know, don't get frustrated. We don't want any homicides as a result of homeschooling. So restrain yourself there. But it's not easy, is it? I mean, it's like this woman says, this was my respite when the kids went off to school. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now I don't have a respite. So anyway, tune in to Facebook at 5 Eastern if you'd like some insight on that. But are you guys having any struggles with the quarantine or shelter in place kind of thing?
Well, I woke up to an argument between my children in the wee hours this morning.
Yes?
Before I'd had my coffee. One was lying about not doing anything. The other one was pointing fingers. It ended well. And I've found that when I get my kids to pray, and I pray about my shortcomings too in the prayer right with them while we're doing the consequences and the discipline and then comforting them, it goes a long way, and it helps us all calm down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I confess to them that I lied too, that I struggle with lying. That was part of the issue this morning. So it seems to soften them when I'll pray like that with them.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I don't think any problems ever come up that I wasn't able to say to my kids, now this, you know, I've had this too, so I wish it wasn't that way. Anyway, it's really amazing the kind of connection that occurs when we reveal to them we are not superhuman. They know that already.
Mine are old enough to really know that, Steve.
Yeah. Well, I do think,
they start,
you know,
giving it back to me.
At a certain age, it's a little bit shocking. But how great that it comes from you rather than they discover it themselves. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. So it's always good. And boy, was I ever raised where that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. You know, our parents just, and especially their parents, they just weren't open about different things. Mm-hmm. But here, this is a safe place, and you can be open. When you call us, we will not tell anybody that you called us here on live radio in front of a couple million people. So you just do it. And we'll keep it a secret between us. You can do like Jack did yesterday. I think Jack's maiden name was Elaine, but he used the word Jack. And you can do that too. You can fake the name. Nobody will know. Here's the number, 1-800-229-3000. And we've got a website, newlife.com. You can find a lot of things there, including the video library we've opened up for you It's usually Club New Life benefit, but we've opened it up because we want you to have access to all that you need during a very tough time. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. 1-800-229-3000. We're glad you're with us here today on New Life Live. You stay tuned and tell a friend. Come join us.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's go to the phones. And David from Memphis, he watches or listens on the internet, and he has called us at this number. You can, too, 1-800-229-3000. And David, how you doing today? What's going on in your life?
Well, I'm kind of struggling right now. My wife actually said today that she wanted to get a divorce. And we've really been struggling a lot. It really breaks down to our communication, I believe, which is really broken down. She's been tearing me down a lot for a long period of time, actually. And then I shut down, and then we end up talking again, but it really doesn't solve anything. And we kind of just keep going over and over and around and around in this same kind of circle over and over and over again, and we never get anywhere. And I think she just got to the point where she's just tired of it and, you know, is ready for the pain to be over. But I don't really think she wants a divorce, and I don't want a divorce, but she just didn't know what to do at this point.
Well, David, let me ask you a question. So, sounds like to me you don't meet her expectation, and then she wants it to be different, so she criticizes you. Rather than it be different, under the criticism, you shut down. So, let's ask this. What is her biggest complaint?
Well, probably her biggest complaint would be that is a lack of leadership or even just coming up with new ideas if things aren't working. And, you know, then I just don't talk to her. I don't share enough about what's going on. And that in situations like these, I don't bring up anything. I don't come to her with that as far as, you know, while we're not talking or to start talking again. So lack of communication has been the biggest thing, or leadership.
So, David, it sounds like your wife feels like she has to initiate most things. Would you say that's true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're pretty clear on what she's upset about.
Yeah, I understand. My thing is, like, I just have such a hard time of doing that. She has a lot more of a strong personality, and I don't. And I know I still need to talk to her. It doesn't mean I have a free pass on that. But at the same time, usually when we discuss things or talk about stuff, I've already, you know, she's already been blasting me before, basically, and then it's like more of it.
Right, which is hard.
Right.
Yeah, and I know that doesn't create an environment that makes you want to share and helps you to feel safe when it's already a struggle. You know, I'm imagining that you just simply, like, don't know what to say or don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Right? But, yeah. You know, imagine, too, though, let's say you were hungry and she was in charge of feeding you. And she, you know, kind of put a few morsels on your plate, and that's all she gave you. I would imagine that you would probably be hungry and wondering, well, why isn't she giving me more food? This isn't enough. And
yeah.
Emotionally, that's what you're doing to her. And it can feel really stingy. Like, why are you just doling out the emotional crumbs, in such small amounts? And even if she maybe intellectually gets that you might not know how, emotionally that may override her intellect, where she's just so frustrated and maybe doesn't understand why you wouldn't at least maybe confess that and say, okay, I need to get some help. I need to learn, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have to have her strong personality, because there are lots of ways to lead. And there are the strong, quiet type, you know, that lead through their actions or lead in different ways. And it may be, you know, okay, sweetheart, I'm not going to meet your expectations, but I lead in a different way. But I realize there's some voids, and I do need to go. I need to go talk with another man and figure this out.
Now, I'd like to expand your analogy there, Jill.
Okay.
So let's imagine that she needs food, and he gives her just a couple of morsels. And she says, I hate your morsels. I hate your food. I don't like the way you gave it to me. You're kind of a loser in morseling out food. And I got to tell you, that would not inspire me, given the criticism, to jump back in there and, hey, let's try a new recipe. And so I, you know, when somebody comes to our intimacy in marriage workshop, we encourage them to give up something that a lot of people think is their spiritual gift, and that's criticism. And so both of you, you know, she's saying, I don't like your style, I don't like this. Hey, her style kills relationships.
You mean it's not selective discernment?
No, it is.
No. Okay.
It's not. And
just
so
clarifying.
I think, you know, both of you guys need to make some bold moves here. And if I were you, I would be saying, you know, I've heard you talk about my leadership or lack thereof. And I believe that just as I have fallen short in the area of leadership, you've resorted to this constant criticism. And both of us, if we're going to get out of this, are going to have to do this differently. Now, David, what kind of help have you guys gotten as you've watched this thing go from pretty bad problem to I want a divorce? What kind of help have you reached out for?
Well, it's been a few years, but we have done some couples counseling. We've done some, like, marriage intensives over the weekend, family life.
When was the last time you guys got some help?
It's probably been, I'd say, a good 3 to 4 years.
Okay.
At this point, she said she's not open to it.
Yeah.
She said it didn't help in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So, David, I think you're going to have to show her some evidence of change. Mm-hmm. If there's any hope for your marriage, that you've made a call to us is already a great start. If you'll let
it
us
is.
Also link you to a counselor so that you can go back to your wife and say, I heard you talk about divorce, and I know it's serious. And that's why I got a counselor today. I'm going to start working a plan. I am going to show you that our marriage is worth fighting for. Because you've been right in some of your criticism of me, but I want to turn it around, and I've started today, and I hope it's not too late.
Okay.
I mean, I do think, given that she's not open to anything, that would be a good way to approach it, mm-hmm. just to say to her, I'm going to ask you to go slower than you thought, to put this plan on hold, and let me see if I can make some changes. Then I think after you've met with a counselor for 3 or 4 times, they're going to say, see if she would come in with you. And then maybe since you've been going, she would be more open to that.
Yeah.
But look, she said you're not coming up with anything new, so the counselor is going to help you come up with some things that are new and different. Yeah, Jill, go ahead.
Right. Any movement, David, is better than you just being frozen, right? So anything she sees you doing is better. She's watching. So even though she's saying, I'm done, I want a divorce, if she saw some movement, she might rethink that.
David, especially if she could hear a clear, humble confession like you've been doing with us, where you take responsibility just for your side of the street. Don't point any fingers at her, but acknowledge, I have lacked leadership. I have not taken initiative. And this has been so frustrating for you that now you're considering divorce. And I can understand that. And I want to show you I can be different.
Yeah. So I want you to hold on. Now I'm going to send you the book, How We Love, by Milan and Kay Yurkovich. And I'm going to encourage you to do the counseling step. But then also, I'm just going to hope that somehow you guys could be part of the marriage intensive. Because that's where things like this really, really, they just transform. I mean, we see people that hate each other come out of those experiences, and they're on each other's team. And I'm really sorry. Okay, so here's the lesson for everybody else. Don't be going down this path and wait until somebody says, I think I want a divorce, and I'm not interested in getting help. Why not get help now, 1 month into the problem, 1 year into the problem? Because, look, I wouldn't tell you there's hope if there wasn't hope, but I've never seen a relationship that didn't have hope. Unless one person made the move, and then it never, ever provided motivation for the other one to make the move. But when one person says, I'm going to work on my character, my side of the street, most likely there's going to be some movement on the other side of the street. Most likely that's going to be the outcome. All right, let's go to Pastor Glenn, Torrance, California. He is a new listener. How you doing, Pastor Glenn? What's going on?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Great. How about you?
I'm great. I'm at Torrance New Life Church. I love my wife, and we say one thing in our church: intimacy is the gold standard of Christianity, but also it's the gold standard of marriage. And yeah. I thank God for a great wife, but I thank God for Jesus, and He's the center of our marriage. But my question is this. There are so many people today, so many young married couples, that their life is not, you know, anchored in the Word of God. They don't have their quiet time, and all of a sudden they're caught up in sex texting, or they're caught, their heads turned by somebody at work, or they're upset with their marriage, or they haven't learned how to have those great levels of intimacy in their marriage. How do you do that? How do you stay away from those things? How does a young person? I mean, I understand what Proverbs say in Proverbs 5:29, but how do we preach that and teach that and keep that going in our churches?
Yeah, you know, it's such a great question, and I'll give you several pieces of this. One, you know, we talk about the divorce rate is so high, and it's high among Christians, but you're pointing out something else that's very high, and that is the married and the miserable folks. And I see that all over the church as, well, we're not going to divorce, but we're going to get we're just going to stay miserable or be more miserable.
Yeah.
And we don't want that. So what's the first step? Well, you know, the first step, I think, is to look around, to see the reality of your situation. That, okay, we're at odds with each other, whether you're a Christian or not. You're not doing things together. One of you is probably feeling like you're the loser, and the other one is the one that's criticizing, just like what we heard. So first you got to say, my contribution isn't helping. That's the big, huge, humbling down moment that can lead to some really good stuff. But here's the other thing. Sometimes people see the reality of their relationship. They recommit to the Lord, they recommit to things, and stuff starts to get better. But if it doesn't get better, that's when I think you have to say, where's the pastoral counselor, where's the Christian counselor, where's that third party that could help me see this from a different perspective? And that's what I think Amen. Is one of the initial great values of whether it's pastoral counselor or therapist, whatever, is a different perspective, because we think we see it, but we don't see it. We're blind to so much. So, Alice, Jill, what do you guys think? I mean, I've just scratched the surface in saying the beginning is mm-hmm. to look at the reality that's there.
Well, I think that we all struggle with truly being intimate, and we all are at different places in that. But I think, like what you brought up, the crux is intimacy, whether it be with God or with others. And I just think people just don't know how to do that, and they don't know how to sit with the discomfort of moving into that, feeling awkward, and learning to tolerate being, you know, with another person in their space, being truly known. And so they settle for these intimacy substitutes. and yeah. that seduce them true. And that take them away, right?
And when we have pastors right. like right. you, oh, Pastor yeah. Glenn, that are willing to set an ideal but acknowledge what the real struggle
yeah.
is and make it okay to talk about that at church and to go to church for help with it in small groups where we learn to get our needs met in healthy ways, we need your help with that, Pastor Glenn.
Yeah.
We'll be back right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Our phone number, 1-800-229-3000. Just finishing up here with Pastor Glenn. You know, Pastor, what church are you with, Pastor Glenn? What denomination is that? Just curious.
Assemblies of God. Assemblies of God.
Wonderful.
Torrance New Life Church. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Oh, New Life.
Well, let me just say this.
Yeah.
Don't you think
like
that
name.
In most churches, if you do step up and say we're having a problem, people do kind of question your faith. They're a little bit judgmental about it. Don't you think that is one of the issues we have to deal with?
It's a fear. Mm-hmm. I mean, who wants to be
yeah.
found out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't confession gives us freedom? And, you know, now when I bring new people into the church, I go through that one thing that AA does is said, now let's do the sin inventory. Why did you start drinking here? Why
yeah.
did you go do this? But we have to know the why, because I've had people, you know, they give their life to Jesus, but I never find out what the real core issue was. But then it resurfaces 6 months. 3 years from now, it comes back. The realm of,
yeah.
you know, the power of the enemy comes back into their life, and then it can become worse.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's why we, you know, whatever we do here, we always have a sustained victory program or, you know, something where they're going to maintain it rather than just act like everything got fixed. I'm going to say thank you for calling us, Pastor Glenn. I'm going to send you Every Man's Bible. Best-selling men's study Bible. A lot of folks get this Bible and they find the joy of reading the Bible. It is so full of great helps, edited by men for men, and it'll be a great Father's Day present. You can get one by calling us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You could order it there. Really glad Pastor Glenn called because, as I was saying, the married miserables, they are so common. You guys have them come into your office all the time.
Yeah, where people's just like, they're resigning themselves to be miserable. They think that's the only option, either divorce or misery. And they resign themselves to that because it's like seems too hard to make it better. It's like that doesn't even occur to them. They've become hopeless.
Yeah.
Right?
Don't settle just for misery. You can be mildly irritated, not totally
yeah,
miserable.
Yeah, I mean, we can move you
can
there.
Things can get better. Yeah, we can help. All right. Actually, you can transform. And, you know, I love Romans 12:2, where it says in the New Living Translation, you can transform your life by changing the way that you think. Mm. Now think about that. Changing the way you think. You start to fill your mind with different thoughts. You know, I hope my wife's not listening, but I started doing something different whenever we have a conflict, because for a lot of our marriage, she would have a problem, and my thought would be, this is not my problem, this is her problem. If she wasn't this way or that way, then she wouldn't be feeling this way. So I made a change of thinking, and here's what I said. Okay. I'm listening, and then she'd finish, and I would say to myself, I'm the problem here.
Mm.
And it started me down a different kind of path.
Mm.
And so it really does help. Doesn't solve everything, but it does help when we start to think in a different way. All right, let's go back to the phones, 1-800-229-3000, and let's talk with Leslie Mandan, North Dakota. KNDR is the station. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Don't know what my wife's going to say when I get home.
Because she's always listening.
So, how could we help you today?
Well, I don't know where to start. I guess I'm mostly concerned about my brother.
What's going on with him?
Well, things are not going so well between him and his wife and his family.
Okay.
But before that, you know, he's been, like, kind of a hate... Well, I don't want to say hateful, but he's just been an angry atheist. And so...
So what's going on with him now? The angry atheist having problems with his wife. Where is he? What's he doing now?
He got... Well, all I can say, I guess, is he can't have contact with his wife and his stepson for a while. And
oh boy.
So I've been kind of like doing some errands between the two of them because they... Because he can still see his little girl, you know? So I gotta, like, run errands between the two of them.
What did he do that he cannot see his wife or stepson? What happened?
Him and the stepson got into a fight.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so it escalated bad. The wife was trying to get in the middle to try and stop it. And even the dog wasn't helping because he didn't know who to protect. And he happened to bite one of them. But, I mean, it wasn't his fault. But anyway.
Were the police called when all that happened?
Yeah.
And so what happened with your brother?
He ended up getting arrested. And he's out now, but he can't have contact with them for now.
Okay.
And and he's really in a bad place, I guess, and they're just saying mean things about each other.
Okay, we're going to give you some help. I have to go to a break, so I want you to hold on. I've got to go to a break. You are listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, 1-800-229-3000. Another hour and a half. We're in the studio. We're talking with Leslie, wants to help her brother, Jill or Alice. What do you think? What would be her best path?
Well, Leslie, so it sounds like, okay, you really want to help your brother. He's been really angry, and do you know anything more about why he's so angry? Are there other issues going on? Because this is pretty serious to cause an argument that would land you in jail.
Well, he's been acting a little bit off before all this happened. Like, he was...
Like, is there drugs involved?
No.
Okay.
But he used to give me a hard time about me being a Christian, you know? And well, no, he wasn't. Sorry, I'm trying to find my right words.
Okay.
In the past, he wasn't giving me a hard time about me being a Christian. But now he has been lately. Like, we were talking one night, kind of have, like, a heart-to-heart talk, like brother and sister, because we don't get to hang out as much.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking about life, and it got deep, and then he went on about how he just can't stand God. He can't stand Christianity. He hates it. And he's just been angry about a lot of other things before all this happened.
And okay. Leslie, and, do you try to bring faith up with him quite a bit to try to help him? Do you bring faith up a lot?
I sadly no. That's the problem with me. Like, I feel bad for not bringing up faith to anybody who don't have faith, because I worry so much about easily offend them, and I say stupid things.
Let's just talk about him, though, and we want to give you some very direct action to take with him. You know, I've always said that an atheist, you really got to have more faith than most Christians to be an atheist. And a lot of times when you hear someone say, I don't believe in God, but I hate God, I hate the God that I don't believe in, many times the hatred comes from expecting God to fix me, and God doesn't fix me or somebody else, or expecting that God would have protected me from something. God didn't protect me, like abuse, which leads me to be so angry I beat up my stepson. And in the absence of that, I don't believe in God because I didn't get the fix or I didn't get the protection that I was expecting. So what do you guys think she could do? The best path to help
this brother? Well, I think, Leslie, you know, you have the unique position of being his sister who has grown up with him. And so you know all of the family history. Yeah. And I think it would be important to look at what happened with you guys growing up. What happened with your parents or in your family or with other authority figures? Because that often gets projected onto God. And then ask your brother, invite your brother to get some help. Because this level of anger is not normal.
He did tell me a lot of things about why he's an angry person.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me the one reason why he believes that God is unreal, and that he couldn't stand the story about how Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. And that's what he said, that's what made him start to question, and now I guess he's hated it ever since. But he's angry at a lot of things with family, too. And
so, Leslie, in situations like this, it's not always best to push faith too much when he's taken such a strong stance against it. So I think it's okay that you haven't brought it up more. So with that kind of a story, I think it's simple to say that is very disturbing. I can understand why that version of God is disturbing to you. You want to come alongside to try to validate your brother as much as you can. If we grew up in some tough times, brother, I know you've been through a lot. I know some things about the Bible are very disturbing to you. And I know that it's distressing that you are separated from your wife and your stepson. Brother, if you would let me, I would accompany you to see a therapist, because I know you're in a lot of pain under that anger. And I want to help you with it. Mm-hmm. And in addition, Leslie, to giving him that kind of empathy and love, I think you also need to hold a boundary with him, that when he starts going after you, when he starts attacking you for your beliefs, I think it's important to say, you're getting loud and you're getting angry. I'm not willing to stick around when you're treating me like this. I got to step away.
I know.
Now, let me ask you this real quick. Let's just say that the reason he's so triggered by the story about Abraham sacrificing his son is that it represents a feeling that he had of being sacrificed by his own father. Would there be any truth to that, that his dad was more interested in job, or dad was more interested in other women or alcohol or something, to where he felt like he had been sacrificed?
Yeah, well, our dad and our biological father, we all love him, he's learned from what he had done when we were all kids, but he wasn't
what
really
did he do
then.
What did he do when you were kids is what I'm getting at.
My dad, he would be drunk and he would get angry, and he used to beat up mom when he was in a drunk rage, and my mom told me, I actually witnessed it when I was like a toddler, and I was screaming at him, just yelling gibberish. But I don't remember it.
So here your brother is literally feeling like he was sacrificed.
Yeah.
And God let it happen, whereas he spared Isaac right before the death occurred. You know, he intervened. Well, he didn't intervene with your brother. If I was talking to him right now, I would say, I know a little bit about your history with your father. And if I had gone through what you've gone through and had never been given some really wise counsel, I'd probably be in the exact same situation as you. I'd have the same feelings as you. And now the question is, are you going to let your father own you for the rest of your life, or is it time that you get your father out of your head and your heart and that you be free? And I would hope that he would say, I want to be free.
Yeah.
Because that's what's happening. He's controlled by the man he hates.
He's becoming him, right? And now he's doing to his loved ones something very similar.
I mean, it was stupid, you know, he's been frustrated with his stepson. He's a teenager, you know, and it was all because of a stupid chore, you know?
Well, yeah, right, but he was feeling disrespected, right? And so instead of seeing what that boy is struggling with. You know, Leslie, something that you and your brother could do together would be also to go to Adult Children of Alcoholics 12-step meetings. Yeah. Right now you might have to do it online. They have really good materials. It's really good for people that have childhood issues, and you have kind of the classic situation of having an alcoholic father. Those meetings are powerful, and that's something I think you both could use, because I think you go around and round with your own self-doubt about things.
Well, I'm going to send you. But what do you do about what?
What do I do about, like, they can't talk to each other, him and his wife, so I'm just, right now I'm just running errands for them and everything, and they're
saying here's the thing. If he will get his act together, they'll be talking again. And I wouldn't be so quick to run all the errands and make this comfortable. I'd like it to be so uncomfortable that he says, I got to get some help because I don't want to be in this position anymore. So you really need to evaluate, are you doing stuff for him and them, or does it just make you feel good because you want to do something? You've got, you know, the right intention and motive, but it might kind of ease things so much that he isn't desperate to get some help. He needs help. When he gets the help, it's going to work out this atheism, this faith thing, the anger, the bitterness thing. But see, until you encourage him that direction, then we're just kind of putting a Band-Aid here or there on a festering, infected wound that's going to, it could kill him. It's certainly destroying almost every area of his life. The anger, the bitterness, and the resentment, that's what we've got to give him. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible and a Grief Workbook. And I hope that you'll give it to him and that he would work through this and see that there's hope when we go to work on ourselves, on those deep, deep wounds. You're listening to New Life Live. You want to join us? We're here for another hour and 15 or hour and 20 minutes, 1-800-229-3000. If you need help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEWLIFE. There's somebody there that really cares about you.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. And just as the we all know that the coronavirus needs a vaccine, it needs a treatment. Larry Sonnenberg is the treatment for New Life. He's the vaccine. He's the antidote to deterioration and sickness here as an organization. Larry, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
What's on your heart today?
Oh, gosh. Well, I will read it.
Well, we're just out of time, Larry. No.
Oh, gee. Okay. I want to read a little testimony came in to us. I've been listening to your program more years than I can remember. What you all do on a daily basis is nothing short of amazing and a gift from God. Your words of wisdom have pulled me through many questionable moments in my life. Somehow the advice you give to other people over the years speaks directly to many of the challenges I face. Definitely not a coincidence. God's hand is all over it. Thanks for truly being someone I can count on for sound biblical advice for helping me realize there's hope and healing. And, you know, this week, I just wanted to kind of focus a little bit on this radio program. We talk about our workshops all the time and the counselors that do great work. But this radio program impacts people in ways that we have no idea. And that's why we need your support. You know, we want to keep going. This COVID crisis, you don't maybe hear too much anxiety from us on the radio about moving on. But there's a little bit that seeps up on us when we see donations lighten up a little bit, not knowing what's going to happen. And I've talked to friends whose churches are really hurting. And so we're Club New Life. If you're a Club New Life member, you are our heroes. If without you, we would not be able to keep this thing going like we do. So I really want to encourage folks to sign up for Club New Life. That's a big deal to us. If you could make a gift of $30 or more. And if you don't want to join the club, make an individual gift. There is no gift too small or too large to help us out. And call us at 800-NEW-LIFE. Yeah. You could go online to make a gift. And Steve, anything about the thank you gift you wanted to say?
Yeah, I will say that. But before I do, I just want to mention that we're aware that there are folks, you know, you don't just make it through this crisis. And maybe the small business that your family has owned, it doesn't survive. It never comes back again, and we understand that. Well, in the world of radio and broadcast, if we can't pay our bills and we lose the time where we are, we can't get that back. In other words, we can't say, okay, we're going through a tough time. We'd like to go off of half our stations, and we'll come back on when things pick up. They're gone forever. So please help us during this time to sustain the level of reach that we have, because it is the biggest ministry and the biggest expense that we have. But we believe that lives are being transformed as we help people change the way that they think. Now, if you join Club New Life at $30 a month, we're going to send you the Transformation Kit, which is a life recovery Bible, the workbook, the general workbook that's been the next best-selling thing. Then we have a journal, a directed journal through the four seasons of recovery. You'll love that journal. And then four workbooks that go along with this. One is on grief, another when we have an eating problem. We've got depression, and then a really amazing recovery workbook on divorce. So call us if you can join Club New Life. But if you give us a gift of any amount, I'm going to send you a perspective that Dave Stoop and I did on anxiety and fear. I think you're really going to like it. It'll be a big help to you or maybe somebody that you care about.
Steve, I want to say thank you to everybody who has been giving, and I want to recognize that there's some of you who've lost jobs and finances are not such that you can give. And so this request is not meant for you, but for those of you who can.
And maybe somebody can step in for those who just can't continue to do it. All right, our phone number, 1-800-229-3000 for the next hour. New Life, 1-800-NEW-LIFE and newlife.com. They're there all the time. I'm going to try to get in one more call here. Let's go to Jane from Lexington, Kentucky. Hi, Jane. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I just ditto on everything that you guys are saying. You guys are wonderful. Thanks for being there. I'll try to be brief. Yeah. I've been having some difficulty accessing my regular counselor. I thought you all could, you know, through all these different telehealth and Zoom and all of that. I was told I don't have a camera on my PC, and I've just gotten a new smartphone, and so I hadn't really figured out how to use it yet for these meetings.
Yeah.
I was told that they couldn't speak to me on the phone, or they couldn't even do a Zoom meeting with, you know, just the phone only. And it got so bad.
Where were you? Who told you that? Where did you hear that?
My counselors, their association, you know, their business said, office manager told me that. And I didn't understand, so I said, I just don't understand why, you know, until I can, you know, order a phone, you know, Amazon's kind of slow right now, until I can order a camera, I have the money to put a camera on my, and my counselor even called and left me a voicemail. I kind of felt, I was kind of upset with him. He said, well, I'm sorry that you got upset with so-and-so, but, you know, we could go to federal prison if we don't use telehealth. You know, we have to use it. And I thought, have you ever heard of anyone going to federal prison for talking to a client on the phone?
I've got two PhD psychologists licensed. And so, you guys, what's your perspective on this?
Well, I actually just did a continuing education on telehealth. And right now, they are much more lax in the rules. It is an individual thing, which each counselor is comfortable with. It sounds like your center has taken a very, very strict position. There are websites and things that are HIPAA compliant that we use to protect people, and it's mainly for your protection. But if you consent to speaking over the phone to your therapist, I mean, certainly when we call you the first time, we're talking to you on a telephone. So if you consent to that, most therapists are okay. I do tons of phone counseling with people who are remotely, you know, located and can't drive in.
I do, too. And I think a lot of it is by therapist preference, although there are some restrictions depending on what kind of therapist we are. But many of us are willing to do it.
But I'm sorry.
So, Jane, I'm going to ask you to hold on, and let's see if we can find somebody in your area or not in your area, but complies with everything. And, you know, there surely has to be. And if not a, you know, if we don't find a real live therapist, then maybe there's a pastoral counselor that we can connect you with that can give you some kind of help there. One of the things that's always been frustrating to me, and of course they've, I think in the area of physicians, they have really opened up all over the country. You could help somebody. But you guys, you still have these restrictions for over state lines and stuff. And man, I wish they would give that up, because we really need more counselors available now than ever. I've never seen so many people wanting to get help. And anytime you support us during this crisis, you're supporting more people than ever are searching for some help. And it is not easy. And we're 21 or so days into this whole thing of isolation and everything. And, you know, whatever you're going through, well, you're not alone. It is not easy. And I got to tell you, when I was in 14 days of self-imposed isolation, just the fact that, I mean, no one put me in a straitjacket. I put myself in one. It was not easy. It was hard. But you just get through it. Things are going to get better. I really believe that. We're seeing a few signs of hope. And so don't give up. And even if you lose everything, listen, God loves you, wants to help you start again. We'll do whatever we can to encourage you to start again. God loves you. He's there for you. 1-800-229-3000 for the next program. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We've got people that want to talk to you if you want to talk. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.